Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Sportsaholics 24/7. As always, I'm your host, Brandon, along with John, Nick, and Jordan. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Brandon. How you doing?
What's up, Brandon?
What's going on, man?
All right, now we got a lot on our schedule today. We got National Signing Day going on as we speak. The NFL season just wrapped up on Sunday. We'll get to a huge review of the season at the end of the show. And just for kicks, we'll talk a bit about who we want to see in the All-Star Saturday night events that are being revealed tomorrow, all the contestants. So let's jump right into it. National Signing Day. We have already known where the top three recruits are going. Leonard Fournette's going to LSU, Jabril Peppers is going to Michigan, and some of the third guy. But, John, who do you think had the best today?
All right. Obviously, Alabama, they have the number one class in the country, but there are plenty of surprise teams that have really done a great job recruiting. And one team that I'm looking at is Kentucky out of the SEC. They finished 2-10 last season, yet according to ESPN, they have the 20th best recruiting class in the country. And according to other recruiting websites, 247 Sports has them up pretty high up in the top 30. So you got to look at a team like that. They have a new coach, Coach Stoops, there down in Lexington, Kentucky, and they're just doing a great job. You know, Kentucky's known as a basketball school mostly, so they're always going to recruit well for that. But this is an incredible recruiting class for a team that went 2-10, and doing that in the SEC is very impressive.
All right. Do you think that Alabama can be stopped again this year with this class they've just brought in? Or do you
I definitely think they can be stopped this year, 100%. Because, you know, they have a great class, and for the past four years they've had the top class in the country. But we've seen that they're not invincible. They can lose. And, again, you know, like I said, Kentucky, I mean, Kentucky is not going to threaten them this year. But with a class like they have, and then you got LSU bringing in the top player in the country, Leonard Fournette, and they have a great recruiting class as well. Alabama can definitely fall.
All right. Nick, well, what do you think is, like, the most underrated school right now that's doing a great job recruiting? Like, what school do you think is not really flying high right now but can certainly make some noise come regular season?
Wow. Well, to be completely honest, I really don't follow recruiting very much. I'm not like John. But I really think Alabama and Kentucky can do a very good job. I mean, I know Alabama's losing a lot of their top players, and they kind of have to fill in replacements. I don't really know who they're recruiting, but like John said, Kentucky is recruiting a lot of strong high school football players. That's all I know, really.
And I'm assuming, Jordan, do you know much at all? Or,
well, I'm kind of in the same boat as Nick, but going back to John's point, I will say that Alabama can definitely be stopped, you know, definitely with losing some of their better players in Aja McCarron and some of their offensive talent there. But there's been a trend in the SEC lately, and what seemed like a couple years ago was they were just going to go on this run where they were never going to be stopped in winning the national championship. And some of their top teams haven't performed up to expectations the past couple of years, like, you know, an LSU, a Florida, some of these top power schools have, you know, not shown up in the past couple of seasons. So to be able to stop Alabama for 2 years in a row, I don't know if that's going to happen. And I think, no, I don't really follow the recruiting process at all, but I would be very surprised if at the end of the college football season, Alabama isn't right again, right there again, near the top and probably playing for another national championship.
Absolutely. Now, me personally, one school I'm definitely disappointed in terms of their recruiting class, is actually going to be Florida State. I haven't really seen them make a lot of noise over the past 24 hours. Because, and I'm not saying they haven't brought in some great players, but there's no one that really stands out among the players that they've brought in. There's no real elite talent that they're bringing in, and it kind of surprises me. Not that I'm saying that it's a bad decision or they're not a good recruiting class. It just surprises me that Florida State is opting to take the route they're taking as opposed to, you know, they're coming off a national championship. They have the best player in the world, in the entire nation right now, not the world, excuse me. And they're going to make a run again next year because they're a very young team. They're a very athletic team. And they're also a very well-coached team. Jimbo Fisher is the second-best coach in the country, and not behind Nick Saban, in my opinion. But it kind of shocks me that they're not really pushing after some of the top, you know, recruits in the nation and opting for safer choices. But I can't question it because I still haven't seen what they can really do. So
I'm going to have to disagree with that. I'm going to disagree with that because Florida State – according to 247 Sports, who is regarded as the most accurate website for college recruiting, ranks Florida State as the fourth best recruiting class in the country. I can understand why I'd expect them to be maybe, I mean, they can't get much higher than that, but, you know, number one or number two. But it's really difficult. You know, Florida State is in very fertile recruiting grounds in Florida, obviously, and so many colleges go to Florida and try to recruit there, and there are multiple great schools in the state of Florida alone. It's very difficult to keep all the players at your school, but I'm looking at the recruiting class right now. They have a five-star running back in Dalvin Cook. He's from Miami. They have a five-star wide receiver. They have a lot of four-stars. They have a great recruiting class. So while I can understand, you know, maybe a little disappointed that they're not number one, Jimbo Fisher, once again, doing a great job, I think, recruiting-wise. And I think they're going to be a very we'll talk about, you know, college football preview once we get closer to the season, but I think they're going to be a very scary team to go up against this season in the ACC.
Absolutely.
Right, and Brandon, going back to your point, you know, we're looking at Florida State here, the most talented team in the country, which they proved last year. And any time you could put Jameis Winston under center, I'm going to like your chances. And, you know, you could always add talent with recruiting high school players, and as John said, they're the top in the top five right now. But, you know, it's not like the NFL where you can win a Super Bowl and then stay put and just go back with the same team and expect to do it again. But if you're Florida State and you still have Jameis Winston and you still have most of your key guys, you know, you could kind of get away with you still want to add talent, but you could get away with it a little bit and still be one of the top teams in the nation next year, which I expect they will be.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. Agree with that.
Now, moving on a bit, one night before the Spurs and the Nets tip off TNT, the NBA is going to announce who will be participating in the All-Star Saturday Night Event, three-point contest, skills challenge, shooting stars, and, of course, the slam dunk contest. Now, I'm just going to ask all three of you which category. Let's start off with you, Nick. Who would you like to see in the three-point contest besides Steph Curry? Because obviously everyone wants to see
Steph Curry. Well, obviously. Wow. Well, it is kind of tough to tell. I mean, believe it or not, I wouldn't mind seeing Mirza Teletovic. Last year I would have told you Steve Novak, but he kind of seemed to have fallen off the face of the earth. I mean, I would say the same thing about Anthony Morrow. or whoever. Basically, there's a lot of guys who deserve to be in the three-point contest who probably don't even know who they are. That's another. I just want to see the best three-point shooters in the NBA right now. Even if we get a guy like Steve Nash or something like that in there. I mean, I know he's not an amazing three-point shooter, but, you know, just
right.
Take the
plus,
best
he just came back
shooter.
With our lineup last night.
Yeah.
He just came back to the lineup, so, I mean, I don't know. All right. John, because I know how talented of a point guard you are, who would you want to see do the skills challenge? Obviously, Damian Lillard's coming back to defend his title, but who else would you like to see in that event?
Well, the thing is with a competition like that, there are so many great point guards in the NBA that it's tough to choose, and you never know who's going to want to be in it. If I could pick any guy in the NBA, let's see, top three, I'd say Chris Paul, I'd say Deron Williams, and I guess Rajon Rondo as well. Like you said,
what
Damian Lillard's already in it. John, yeah, but I don't think those three guys that I just mentioned previously, I don't think all three of them are going to be willing to do it. So I think John Wall definitely deserves to get a chance, especially with the way that his Wizards team is playing right now. If they keep this up, they're making the playoffs, and they're going to have a pretty good seed, you know, 4 or 5 seed in the playoffs. So
right.
I think
John
Wall deserves it.
For me, Nick, the dream field goes as follows. Tony Parker, if Russell Westbrook was healthy, he would be in it. Damian Lillard, possibly Kyle Lowry. Definitely like all those players. Because for me, I feel like the skills challenge is the lightest of all of the Saturday night competitions. Plus, it's a way to get the players involved, things like that. You know, people want a viewership. They want to see the best players in the world. Obviously, if you don't want to do the dunk contest or something like that, that's one thing. But the skills challenge is kind of the lightest of all the four of them. And, you know, the best players usually come out for that one. All right, Jordan, final one. Slam dunk contest. Who do you want to be in it?
Well, obviously, you know, the main guys who you'd love to see in the slam dunk contest are just simply not going to be in it because of the risk of getting hurt. Obviously, you know, I'd like to see Blake Griffin again. He's just a monster. Paul George, I think everybody's pushing for him to be in it, but I think he openly declined that. Another guy, I'm not sure if he's been in it yet, but DeAndre Jordan, right up there with Blake Griffin. You know, I'd love to see him in the dunk contest, see what he could do. But also going back to the three-point contest, some of the guys I'd like to mention, I agree with Nick. I think Mirza Teletovic probably deserves to be in it the way he's been shooting the ball with the Nets this season. But two other guys who I think deserve it, both on the Spurs. One, I think Danny Green, just what he did in the finals last year, I'd love to see him get a chance in the three-point contest. I think he'd be great at that. And right there also in San Antonio would be Marco Bellinelli, who's really surprised a lot of people. He's just hit some really clutch shots. He's stepped in with some injuries there, and he's just a great three-point shooter. And I think those two guys probably deserve it. Obviously, you know, Steph Curry, Kyle Korver, a bunch of those guys who are just who are all star level players. But then there's some guys you got to dig a little deeper, and I think some of those players should deserve to be in the contest.
Don't forget about Kevin Love. I mean, he's one name that we didn't mention before, but Kevin Love is shooting absolutely lights out right now. He definitely
Ray Allen.
He's the best
three-point
shooter in the game. He'll be back.
I have a question for you guys quickly.
Right.
How do you guys feel about Bradley Beal being selected for they selected about 28 players to be in Team USA for the FIBA World Cup and the Olympics. They're going to narrow that number down. But Bradley Beal was selected in that pool over his teammate John Wall, who we just mentioned. How do you guys feel about that? Because there is no way that Bradley Beal is a better basketball player than John Wall. You know, they complement each other very well, but John Wall is incredible. How do you feel about this?
Here's what I'll say to that, John. I actually do agree with USA's decision on that, because if the NBA, there's right now, there's an abundance of point guards, some, you know, unbelievable point guards. I've seen Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Darren Williams, all these other guys, Rajon Rondo, that are probably right now above John Wall. You know, throw Kyrie Irving in there. But if you look at the shooting position, it's a lot less deep. And the, you know, with the Olympics occurring 2 years from now, obviously it occurred this year, Bradley Beal will not be on it. But the way he's developing and how great he's been doing lately, I think Bradley Beal probably could be a great option in 2016. So I think there's a good find by the NBA to leave him on there. I think that's a good decision.
Okay.
Jordan, I do see where you're coming from. I mean, Bradley Beal, of course, is not nearly as good as John Wall, but he's one of the best shooting guards in the game right now, specifically because shooting guards this season have not been as strong as they used to be. But there are many, many strong point guards. I mean, John Wall isn't even in the top five.
I would disagree with that. I think he's in top five.
I think he is top five.
I don't know about that. No, arguably.
Well, the top five right now, at least, are definitely Rondo, Kyle Lowry, John Wall.
Kyle Lowry isn't playing. Well, right now
I'm talking about in the season, not career-wise, but certainly not by the numbers in the past, but right now, this season, Kyle Lowry has definitely earned his place.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will. And to think that
the Raptors were, you know, so close to trading him, and now they are an above 500 team leading the, as they call it, Titanic division in the East with the Nets, Knicks, 76ers, and Celtics.
All right, moving on. But before we do, don't forget to call in at 347-884-8496. We want you guys to tell us your favorite moments from the 2013-2014 NFL season, which we will share ours with us in a second. All right. So we all know how the Super Bowl went down on Sunday. It was just a complete massacre. I was wrong. Jordan was wrong. John was wrong. Everyone was wrong.
We were all wrong.
I did pick the Seahawks to win.
Nobody thought it would end the way it did. And to be honest, the only highlight of the game for everyone was Bruno Mars. I mean, he put on a spectacular halftime performance. But looking back at the season as a whole, I honestly think that this has been the best NFL season in the past 5 years. I mean, when you look at the resurgence of some teams, Seattle. You look at the Arizona Cardinals at a post 500 record. The New York Jets going 500 and a team that should have been dead last in the league. It's just been a great, great season for the NFL. And there wasn't really any significant injury as well. I mean, no one was really hurt that badly. Well, besides
RG3.
But there was no, like, There was no superstar injury. There was no, like, Derrick Rose caliber injury for the NFL. There was none of that.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, yeah.
But he okay, he's the closest thing to it.
The Patriots could have they probably wouldn't have, but they would have played a better game against Denver if they had Gronk.
Right. Also, these playoffs were just unbelievable to watch. Not that anything was super thrilling or going to make some of the all-time great playoff game lists, but just the playoffs overall as a whole this season were just unbelievable to watch. Between the wild card matchups, between New Orleans and Philadelphia that came down to a field goal, and between the NFC Championship game between Seattle and San Francisco with those two unbelievable back-to-back plays. Just, I mean, it could have ended a lot better, but wow,
yeah.
You know? So I guess we'll start with you, Jordan. What are your personal top five moments from the NFL season this year?
Well, just to name a few, I think week 17 was definitely one of the most memorable overall weeks in recent memory where you just had,
I agree.
For example, the Cowboys-Eagles game and the Bears-Packers game, two games that came down to the division between two big-time rivals, both coming down to really the last drive. Those are two incredible games. And add on to that, you had the Chargers pulling off that miracle against Kansas City. I mean, those three games right there were probably three of the top games of the season. And just taking away just a couple memories from the season, obviously Peyton Manning and what he did, just breaking records, putting up crazy numbers, and his return to Indianapolis was a great game, and the game in New England where the Patriots came back 24-0 at halftime. Just those games right there, those probably the best moments of the season in my opinion.
All right. What about you, Nick? Knowing that you're a big Jets fan, I'm assuming you get a lot of moments from them. What are your favorite moments from the season?
Well, one of them was when the one of my absolute top favorite moments was when Woody Johnson, I mean, this isn't in any game, but when Woody Johnson went to the locker room and announced that Rex Ryan would be the coach of the Jets for the next season, I'm sure you could agree with that, both of you guys. That's one of the
yeah,
top.
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking of this off the top of my head. I mean, when the Jets beat the Patriots, even though it was on a complete BS call, and the Jets should have absolutely lost that game. But whenever the Jets, as a diehard Jet fan, when they beat the Patriots, there is nothing that is more heartwarming than that. I got to tell you. And there's nothing I can appreciate more than the real Super Bowl this year, which was the NFC Championship game. That was the real Super Bowl. That was there, I've never seen a game with such intensity, and I can't appreciate that game anymore. I really can't. Another thing that I'm sure you guys don't remember as well as I do, but I remember when the Browns almost beat the Patriots, and they lost because of that BS pass interference call on whoever it was on the Browns. I forget who it was. I think it was Joe Hayden. I think it was covering Josh Boyce when the Patriots should have lost that game. And I went on the Patriots Twitter page and completely trolled them after that. But, I mean, that is one of my most memorable. It's not a happy one, but it's memorable.
All right. John, I know you're a big college fan, but, I mean, I know you've watched some NFL games this mm-hmm. season. What are your favorite moments?
Well, I'll give you a few of my favorite, and then I just want to talk about my least favorite moment. My favorite moment of the season was probably the Colts versus the Chiefs in the playoffs. What a finish. They were down by like 28 points, and Andrew Luck recovered a fumble off his teammate's helmet. That was amazing, and they came back and ended up winning. That was great. Like you guys said earlier, Woody Johnson going to the Jets locker room after the last game against the Dolphins to say that Rex Ryan is going to keep the job. That was awesome too. But the low point of the season was by far the Super Bowl, and you can't blame that on anyone really. But that was just embarrassing. That game was not only the most watched sports game in history, but it was the most watched TV show in United States history. Over 111 million people were watching. Like 33% of the country was watching. And
that's it.
It was not exciting. It was embarrassing. And for people that aren't really into football, maybe, you know, they went to that game saying, oh, maybe I'll see something I like. Maybe I'll start to get into football. That was a game that was a big turnoff for a lot of people.
Yes, without question.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
basically,
I'm sure it was.
Here's what happened. Can we just talk about the game for a little bit? Basically, who a lot of the blame on Denver goes to that loss is 50% of the blame goes to John Fox. He is way too conservative of a coach. He is a wuss. Every single pass was a 10-yard pass at most. And Seattle knew exactly how to defend it. Their plays got way too predictable. And you have Peyton Manning as a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
You have to trust him with the long ball.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't think it was John Fox's fault. I think it was just that the Seahawks played a perfect game, and they did everything right.
Yeah.
special teams, offense, defense. It was a beautiful thing to watch. And I think that, you know, it was kind of embarrassing for the NFL, though. There's nothing they can do about that. I mean, they can't rig the game, although some people think it was rigged. I don't know why, but they can't rig the game. Yeah,
The NBA is rigged.
Being a college football fan, I always like to compare the two sports, the NFL and the NCAA football. And I think that both seasons were good, but the Super Bowl is just really disappointing, especially compared to the NCAA championship. That's just my opinion, though.
And before I agree with you, because I was sitting right next to you watching the Super Bowl, I agree with you that John Fox was just being way too conservative. And what really happened in that game was his play call in the beginning of the game was atrocious with these screen passes and 5-yard slants, and it was just way too predictable. But I think where credit is really due is to the Seahawks defense.
Yes.
I mean, that defense is one of the best I've seen in a long time. And they really won the game more than the Broncos lost the game, even though they played horrible. I definitely think while John Fox is mostly to blame for Denver, it was really Seattle's defense and the turnovers that really won them
the
game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Now, before we move on, we have a quick caller, so let me just go put him on real quick. Hello.
Hi. This is Allison.
All right, that was clearly not a real call.
Whoever that was, if you can call back and with an actual question, that would be great because we only have a few minutes left.
Right. Yeah. So before I get to my own personal favorite moments, let me just say that I cannot be more overjoyed of the preparation and the execution of this year's Super Bowl. I know the game itself was complete trash, but I got to hand it to New York and New Jersey. They may have done the best job of hosting the Super Bowl in the entire Super Bowl era. I have never seen a better prepared city and a better prepared stadium. And just wow. It was much better than I expected. And the NFL lucked out, too. I mean, they really made a deal with the devil here by having the Super Bowl here. And, of course, the day after the game is over, there's a huge snowstorm that hits this area. And it was almost
God
comical.
Is an NFL fan.
All right.
Question.
So let me get to my own personal favorite moments. Obviously, being a New York Jets fan, obviously all the moments that we mentioned from that team really stood out in my own opinion. The Colts-Broncos game where Peyton returned and he lost to Andrew Luck, which was his successor, just really it hit home with a lot of NFL fans. Let's also not forget when Josh Cribbs caught 250 or 300 plus yards worth of catches and yards over the course of two games.
You mean Josh Gordon?
It's unbelievable.
Josh Gordon.
As also Jamal Charles running for God knows how many yards against the Oakland Raiders. He had like 5 touchdowns in that game. He broke the entire ESPN Fantasy League. It was unbelievable. Peyton Manning throwing for seven touchdowns. Nick Foles throwing for 7 touchdowns. Just an unbelievable season. But the number one moment, in my opinion, was definitely the NFC Championship game and what happened after with Richard Sherman. That was just the most talked about, most ridiculous moment of this season. And, I mean, it was crazy. All right, so we have a minute left. So what are you guys most looking forward to about next season in the NFL in 2014?
Well, I would have to say, what I'm looking forward to the most is, two things for that matter. The next Jet season, obviously, or I might not be looking forward to that. I mean, I might be jumping the gun here, but I'm also looking forward to see how good the Browns are going to be because I see them drafting Johnny Manziel, and with him, with their strong receiving core, I think they could be a very strong team. With Josh Gordon, who is going to be one of the top receivers in the league next year, top 5, I've marked my words, going to be in the top 5 best receivers next year, maybe even better. And I see that team being very, if they get Johnny Manziel, which they probably will, that team is going to be, they're going to improve tremendously. They might even
All right, Nick, we only have like five seconds left. Sorry to interrupt you. Personally, I'm also looking forward to the NFL draft class of this year. We will see you next time.